because of this subject that I'm preaching today. And when it was over with, a young woman came by me that she usually stays for lunch. And I'd been praying for this person specifically because I felt like she understood more than she carried on to understand. And she walked by me with tears in her eyes and got out of the church and went home. And I couldn't get her off of my mind. And I called her on the way home and I said, "What's wrong with you?" And she said, "I don't know what's wrong with me. I've never done that before." I said, "Well, that's the evidence. You're a child of God. Do you know that?" She said, "Well," the conversation cut off, and I couldn't get her off of my mind for the whole 24 hours. And the next day, I got in my truck, and I went over to her house, and I knocked on the door and went in and said, "I want to know what's wrong with you." She said, "Well, I guess it's the Lord dealing with me." I said, "Well, you know how what you've got to do in order to get that off of your that load off of you? You've got to submit yourself. You've got to lay it all out. You've got to give it all up. You've got to submit yourself to the church and be baptized." And she still had tears in her eyes and said, "I know that, but I don't know when I'm going to do it." And I left. And she's been back to church, but she hasn't done what she needs to do. The price was not paid. It's got to be paid for that conscience. We see on the day of Pentecost there where these people were pricked in their heart. The Lord, there, the gospel was preached by Peter, and he tells them that this same Jesus that you crucified, this is the Lord. And they were pricked in their heart. They understood that. They knew that what they had done, they crucified the Lord. And oh, don't you know that's a guilty conscience? Every child of God is in that same condition sometimes in their life. When the Lord touches them and reveals Himself to them, they're under the sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they see Him high and lifted up. They understand how guilty they are. And that price got to be paid. What do I do? What's the cost? What's the price that I need to get this guilty conscience off of my chest? Peter told them, "Repent and be baptized." You repent and you be baptized. You want to have that joy and that happiness that the rich young ruler was missing out on? He knew there was something lacking. What's the cost? What's the price? The Lord said, "Sell all you have. The price is everything. Give it up. Lay it aside. Follow me." And he went away very sorrowful because he had great riches. Great riches. Today, the message is to us. There is a price. The price is everything. Lay it aside. Follow Him. He's not saying that you're going to be poor in this life. He's not saying that you're going to go a beggar in this life. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches the opposite. I'm not preaching here that if you'll do this, you're going to be rich. Not at all. You're going to suffer through afflictions. You're going to have problems, probably more that way than you would the other. But the point is, there's something down inside here that you will have a burden lifted, that you understand this is peace. How do you think the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, as they walked through their life, that they could suffer the things they suffered, that they could go through the agony, go through the torture, the physical pain that they went through? And the Apostle Paul in Philippian letter, he says, "I count it all but dung that I may win Christ." All the suffering, he knew what the price was, and he paid the price. And he had inside his very being, he understood, he had peace, he had joy. He was ready to go and be with the Lord. But he understood it's more needful to be here at this time. Oh, he paid the price. And he counted it all but dung. All the things of the world. He says, we have no confidence in the flesh. And we don't. We should not have confidence in this flesh. You're seeking after riches in this world. That's confidence in the flesh. You're seeking after the highest educations at all expense, all cost. That's confidence in the flesh. We should have no confidence in the flesh. Lay aside that fleshly man. Destroy. A death must occur. You lay aside those old garments and follow after the Spirit. And you will have peace and happiness. In the concluding chapter of John, You may have a different opinion than I do about what it's stating there. But here in Peter's life, Peter was very spontaneous, to say the least. He jumped to conclusions. He followed after his outward man so often, like we all do. He would speak before he thought. He actually thought he was doing good, I suppose. But he was taught many, many lessons because of it. He was a very special, he had a very special relationship with the Lord, I think. But it didn't come without a cost, without a price. He suffered very many times in his conscience. I think to the end of his days, that he could see in the vision of his mind, as he looked up at the Lord Jesus, as the Lord Jesus looked down at him, and as that cock crowed for the third time, I think that was in his mind the rest of his life. But here the Lord comes to him and says, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these? More than these? What does the Scripture say? Seek me first, and I will give all these things to you." I think he was talking to Peter about the things of this world, the things of his life, the occupation, the fish, whatever it might be. He's saying, "Do you love me more than these?" He asked, and he said, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." Peter was getting kind of agitated about it within himself and said, "Lord, you know my heart." And yes, he does. And he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest." That was exactly how Peter was in his life, wasn't it? That he would gird himself. "I'm going to put my own clothes on. I'm going to lead my own self about." And he went his own way and did his own thing. That's how so often we are in our lives. But he says, "Peter, when thou shalt be old, when you be mature, when you lay aside the things of this flesh," he says, "when thou art old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee where thou wouldest not."
Amen.
The Lord does that. He girds you. He carries you where you can't go yourself. You want to have happiness and peace and contentment in this life, you're going to have to submit it to the Lord. You're going to have to say, "Lord, I'm giving up my flesh. I don't want to carry myself anymore. I want you to clothe me. I want you to lead me." And believe me, you go where you can't go yourself. Oh, what a happiness and contentment and peace that is when we, as God's people, do that. One more place. There's many other places we could go. I mentioned over in Revelations, and I want to have to kind of tie that up before I go to my last place that I want to go to. But he says, the 18th verse, you know what the story is in Revelations about the church at Laodicea. They weren't hot or cold, but they were lukewarm. And he says, "You're increased with goods, you're rich. You say, I'm rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." He says, "I counsel thee to buy." This is what the Lord said. "I counsel you to purchase something. I counsel you to buy. I give you advice to buy something. Gold tried with fire. The pureness of God. The pureness that only He has. And what is the price? The price is like all of them. It's everything. And you'll be clothed with His righteousness." Now don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's something you do in order to have eternal life. That's not what the lesson is. The lesson is the Lord is counseling them to buy, that they might have eyesight, that they might see, they might have a clothing to wear, and they might not be naked any longer. So it's a price that must be paid, and the same price, I believe, is the price that's taught through the rest of the Bible. It's everything. In the story of the 10 virgins over in the 25th chapter of Matthew, and I probably have a different interpretation of that than many of you do, but I'm not going to get into that. But I think the same lesson is being taught when those 5 foolish virgins go out and to buy of the Spirit or of the oil because they did not prepare. they had not done what they needed to do. It's a price that has to be paid. The final place, and I'm probably sure that most of you know where I'm going to end my talk, is the price that must be paid for us. The ultimate price. The sacrifice that has to be paid. The 10th chapter of Hebrews, we know why there's a price has to be paid. Do you know why that has to be done? It has to be done because of our depravity. If we really saw ourselves as we are, you know, there wouldn't be any discussion about who's the best or any envy or any pride that I suppose that we could muster up. That's been a terrible condition that this human body has so often. But if we see ourselves as we are, we understand that we are miserable, we are wretched, that it's not anything that I can do in order to live in heaven, that I deserve a hell, I deserve to be cast into the lake of fire. And so we see in the 10th chapter of Hebrews that there were sacrifices all through the Old Testament pointing to this. The climax of the whole Scriptures is the sacrifice. There's a sacrifice that has to be paid. Why does it have to be paid? Because there's a payment that has to be done for sin. Sin has to be paid for. So often we get the wrong conception that sin is just forgiven, that it's overlooked, that it's our grandfather in heaven, that he just passes by and puts it behind him. That's not the case. The case is there's a price has to be paid. There's a payment for it. There's a cost that has to be done. What is the cost? The cost is a payment for it, and it has to be a perfect payment. It has to be the only payment that can be made. And we see here in the 10th chapter of Hebrews that he says that there were sacrifices offered time and time again. Once a year, it says that they went into the holiest of all. But in these sacrifices, there is remembrance again made of sin every year. But it's impossible that these sacrifices can take away sin. It's what the essence of it is. It's impossible that that can happen. The blood of goats and calves can't do it. That's just a type. It's something else has to be done. The real price has to be paid. The real cost for it, something's going to have to be done. Or else we're all going to be in hell. And so he says here in the 5th verse, he says, "But a body thou hast prepared me." This body is what the cost is, what the price is a body. Death for sin. A payment for sin must be carried out. By the which will, the 10th verse, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. Was it just that he had to hang there for a while and then it was all over with? No. No, it had to be more than that, you see. Go to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. 53rd chapter of Isaiah, you see, it wasn't just that he slapped him on the hand. It wasn't just that he was there, but it was something more than that. And he says in the 9th verse of that 53rd chapter, "And he made his grave with the wicked," talking about Jesus Christ, that body that was prepared. He said he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And then it says, "It pleased the Lord to bruise him, to put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin." So here's the soul of that sacrifice that was made an offering for sin. And it was death that was required. It was a separation that was required. And he says here in the concluding verses, he says, "Therefore will I divide him with a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death." That's the payment. That's the price. And me and you didn't have that. That was paid by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And me and you today, if we want to feel the contentment and the peace in our hearts because of that Savior that we have that did that, He requires a price. And the price is all. The price is that dead man to be put off. that old man to be laid aside. You see, the price has been paid for you, and you can enjoy and reap the benefits of that eternal life that was given to you. And we do that by giving Him our all, laying it all aside and saying, Lord, I will follow You. All those that gladly received His Word were baptized. That is the joy and the peace that we have in this life. If you've received the Word of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, then it's your responsibility, it's your duty, it's your command to relieve that conscience within inside you to receive that baptism. And that's the only way that you can have that freedom. Thank you for your attention. May God bless.